the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus. When the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." The Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went all around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's first reading has that paradigmatic scene, not just of prayer and life, what the Catechism uses to describe how prayer is a battle. It's not always a battle. At the beginning, sometimes prayer is a little easy. God gives us lots of consolations to get us into the habit. But eventually he makes prayer a battle of perseverance, precisely because prayer and life go together. We pray as we live, and we live as we pray. And the only way we're ever going to learn how to persevere in faith and life is by persevering in what Pope Benedict calls faith in action, which is prayer. So there is a battle. We see the battle here, not just symbolically presented, but a real fight that Jacob had when he was returning to try to reconcile with Esau. In the middle of the night, someone who's not identified in the text at first comes and wrestles with him all night. That's just a phrase in sacred scripture, but we should put ourselves into the experience of what it would mean to be battling all night. Imagine you thought that someone was trying to kill you, and it wasn't just a fight of 30 seconds, which would seem like a lifetime, or 2 hours, which would leave you totally exhausted, but all night long. And that was the battle of Jacob, all night long in darkness, not knowing against whom he was fighting. Finally, toward the end of this drama, after the adversary dislocates his sciatic nerve and his hip socket, this person, allowing himself to be beaten, says, "Let go of me." And Jacob, the one who had worked so hard to receive his father's blessing, said, "Not until you bless me." And so, in an act of humility, when this adversary asks for his name, because to ask for a name was to have a certain power over another. In the ancient biblical mentality, that's why names are so important. Like when you know a dog's name, you have a certain power over a dog. You can call the dog to you. So having that vocative was really important, and to surrender a name was an act of extraordinary humility and trust. Jacob gave his name. You know what Jacob means in Hebrew? Jacob means two things. First, it means heel, because we remember how Jacob was grabbing at Esau's heel even from the womb. But it also means deception. And we know how deception was so prominent in Jacob's life. But as soon as he gave that name, this mysterious, prayerful combatant in the middle of the night says, "From now on, your name will be Israel," which means curiously, God is victorious, even though in the text it says, because I have seen God, you shall be called Israel, because you have contended with divine and human beings and have prevailed. There's something going on here. That the way we triumph, that God's victory is allowing us genuinely to triumph, to share His victory. That God wins when He's able to share those divine spoils, when He's able to fill us with His blessing, so that, as Pope Benedict said, May 25, 2011, in a catechesis on this passage, the beginning of his year and a half catechesis on prayer. I'm blanking on the thought. Pope Benedict said that this is the paradigm for life. That was not the point that I was going to say, but I remember now. That Pope Benedict said that when we receive God's blessing, we become a blessing for the world. That is God's victory, when we become combatants, not against the Lord, but soldiers in His ecclesia militans. This perseverance in prayer and in life is what leads to today's gospel. Jesus, after working so hard, driving out demons, teaching in the synagogues from dawn to dusk, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, curing every disease and illness one by one, looks out at the vast crowd. And it's not just the vast crowd of those before him, the vast crowd of those across the world, the vast crowd of those across the centuries, were like sheep without a shepherd. And then he gives an imperative with no expiration date. With his bowels exploding with compassion because they were mangled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd, he said, "Pray to the Master of the harvest to send out laborers for that abundant harvest with few laborers." He wanted them to pray, not just for bodies in the vineyard, but for laborers. And as we're going to see at the very beginning tomorrow, after he had gone up all night to pray himself, he comes on down, and to those very ones he had given this command, he says, "I want you, and I want you, and I want you." They were praying to the harvest master for laborers, but what the Lord had always intended is through that prayer to transform them in that battle, to become those laborers. Laborers who first and foremost pray to the harvest master. And then laborers who, in a spirit of prayer, roll up their sleeves and go in and take in that harvest, helping others to learn how to pray with them to that harvest master and how to work alongside of them. It's a very fitting introduction to today's feast of Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict trained not just the first Benedictines, but the church throughout the last millennium and a half, how to pray and work ora et labora, how to turn to the harvest master, preferring nothing to the Opus Dei, he called it, to the work of God, which began with the liturgy of the hours, but in such a way that the entirety of life could become a liturgy of the hours. One's whole day, they'd learn how to pray their work so that ora et labora and eventually studium, study, would be able to be a real unity offered like the sacrifice of Abel to the Father, and a transformation so that as one is praying and working and studying, one becomes a laborer taking in that urgent harvest. Said, prefer nothing to Christ, prefer nothing to the work of God in His rule. And Saint Benedict led by example here, putting God first in prayer, getting up in the middle of the night to battle with the Lord and to battle against oneself in order to do the matins, but then also working in the heat of the day taking in literally a harvest of the earth, which was meant to form people through prayer and work to take in a harvest of souls. All of this reaches its culmination in the pinnacle of the liturgy, which is the Mass. This public work of the Church, which is not just prayer, but also work. It's here that we make actual St. Paul's command in his letter to the Romans to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, our logike latreia, the only worship that makes sense, is to give it all to the Lord. And we come here today knowing that from the time Jesus said these words in the Gospel, the Church has been praying for us to respond to God's call to come and pray with perseverance and to work together with the Lord with his virtues, so that we might receive the Lord's blessing, we might receive a new name of little Christ, so that we might become his blessing for the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.